You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
It's a very wet Monday morning, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, May 12th, episode 3689, brought to you by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Florida's dry season, which we have every year in the winter, is now over. We've had 3 days of rain, and it looks like maybe we're getting your rain now and you'll dry out a little.
You're just getting caught up, catching up to the rest of the world.
That's true. It's been very dry here. But I also did lose power a couple times over the weekend and lost internet. So if that happens and I disappear, Jamie's going to finish the show.
She'll take care of it.
We had Samantha on live from badminton over there in England, the horse trials. And the results are in. Ross Cantor with Lordship's Graffalo actually won in a nail biter. This is what you had hoped it was going to be in Kentucky. So Oliver Townsend was in the lead. He dropped one. He had one rail between him and Roz, and he dropped that rail. And Roz ended up winning with no faults in the show jumping. So that was nice. There was some dramatic moments all across the weekend. We didn't get to watch the cross country. I watched clips of it, but I didn't get to watch the whole thing. And it is a kind of seems like a more, what Samantha was saying when I saw of all the jumps, is it just seems like a more natural course, less stuff, you know, like big
no
ducks
corgis and Maryland crabs and all that kind of stuff that we have here in the U.S., which is really cool. But yeah, it's kind of cool that they kind of backed it up to, it seems like a course that they ran in the 70s, but with a lot more technology so nobody would die.
Right, exactly. And this marks it makes Cantor the fifth rider in history to win badminton twice on the same horse. So congratulations to her. She's a tiny little thing, too. I know we've met her in the past, I think, in press conferences and stuff. But she's a tiny little thing, but big personality and did it. So good for her. Congratulations to her. All right, let's do. Or by the way, coming up in today's show, we're going to talk about obstacle courses with Laura of Win Seek Performance. Plus, we have a study show and some of your equestrian first world problems. Also, in the Auditor Post Show, I have some random things that we can all relate to. So
okay,
we'll do that in the post show. But first, we have to do some daily whinnies. We have three auditor birthdays today: Heather Weimer, Megan Lalonde, and Ruth McCormick. Ruth, by the way, sends me an email every year to remind me so I don't forget. So,
hey, does your wife need to send you an email to remind her? Because I don't remember you wishing your wife a happy birthday on Friday, and you didn't include it in on today.
I was told I wasn't supposed to because she likes to keep, she doesn't even put it on Facebook. She doesn't want anybody to know, and she always gets mad at me every year when I bring it up. So this year, I didn't bring it up. Ashley did, however, post it everywhere. So thank you, Ashley, for taking the heat this year.
Happy birthday, Jen.
It was so funny. She said, how did Ashley know that? I said, I don't know. It was on the calendar. I think she wrote it down from last year. And that
she
sounds like something
stuff
Ashley would do. By the way, also wanted to give a big shout out to the HRN Virtual Tevis team. That's the team that we have that's doing the Virtual Tevis, which is 100 miles in 100 days. And right now, still, we are in the lead. HRN Network Tevis team is in first place in front of Stacy Westfall's team. Now, Stacy Westfall's team tends to come on big later on, but I know that there was 100 miles just put in over the weekend. Karen did 50 and a bunch of other people did. So we are barely in the lead by like 5 miles.
Y'all get on, giddy up.
But good job. Isn't that cool that they're still leading that? And Stacy Westfall has a much bigger team, so I'm proud of you guys. Good job.
And I don't think Stacy Westfall has to go into the office this morning, okay? Mm. Like most of our people. So y'all are bad A. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, good job. Good job.
It happened the day I've been dreading for many years. I mean, congratulations go out to Farm Boy for graduating college with a master's degree. It's so exciting for him, and I'm so excited that he's going to head out into the world, strike off on his own.
And... No, you're not. Quit lying. You're not a good liar. The other thing, too, is I'm kind of sad, too, because he was half our content. What are we going to do?
I know. It's like he's gone and now then Anna's going to go. I don't have any content anymore. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm gonna have to go to an auction and buy a horse a week.
And then you're coming in summer, so you won't be working with the horses because it'll be too hot.
Oh, man.
So graduation went well. He got his certificate. He's official now.
He's official. He graduated. I spent time with his mama. She's so sweet. And his mom and sister and brother and their significant others. And it was a nice family event. It's so strange because, like, it's his whole family and me. And I saw his uncle, like, walked. I saw him, his uncle walk up to his mom and be like, "Who's that?"
He's like, "Is there a new relative I don't know about?"
Yeah, who is that? And he was, "That's the horse." "Oh, that's the one with the ranch." Okay, gotcha. And I was like, dude, like, I mean, he's literally spent his entire college career with me. And yes, it is hard to explain, but he just has been working. But like, I feel like if there is an unknown one person at this event, probably it's that person. Which is me.
Does his family have any idea how popular he is on this show?
No. And I don't talk about it because I don't need his parents listening to this. Okay.
That's funny. Well, yeah. Congratulations, Farm Boy. Good job.
Congratulations, Farm Boy.
And good luck on your next career in oil.
Yeah. He's going to make more money than all of us put together.
He'll make a hell of a lot more money than we did starting out. That's for sure.
Have you seen the show Landman, by the way, Glenn?
I've seen a couple episodes of it.
Okay. It's a Taylor Sheridan like oil thing. And that is going to be him with less smoking and drinking. He's going to be the boss though. So he's the engineer. So he's not going to be like, you know, working on the oil wells or anything like that, but he'll be in charge of a lot of stuff. And yeah, I was like, listen, please watch it so you can learn all the ways not to die.
Not to get beat up in a bar. So yeah. Well, I'm very excited for him. Good for him. Good job.
Yeah. Congratulations. We knew this was coming. Yeah, we did. Hey, also this weekend, the two horses that I've had in training, Cal and Sterling, went home to Kate and Lindsay, the mother-daughter team, our daughter-mother team, who sent them here and brought them here from Nebraska. Where was it? Nebraska, northern Nebraska. They drove their horses down about 6 weeks ago, and they've been here this whole time. And I started Cal, or Farm Boy and I did. We started Cal and got him going under saddle. And so Kate was able to ride him this weekend, which was really cool. But they also brought me the daughter's show horse that had, quote, behaviors. And he ended up being one of the most spectacular horses I've ever had the pleasure to work with. And what it is he was like an almost 18 hand Hanoverian. And Gray, just drop dead gorgeous, sweetest thing in the world. But one of the behaviors was you could not put a bridle on this horse. Like, I mean, he turned all 18 of his 18 hands when you brought
just
the bridle
great for
over.
A little 5'2" you.
Oh yeah, it's so fun. So I decided that I was going to employ one of Monty's concepts for bridling a horse, and I've tried this 10 times. And I don't know if he's just more patient than me, which I'm sure he is, but like, I'm pretty patient. And I've tried this concept like 10 times and it's never worked for me. And I just pushed through like the part where I'd give up usually. And I just kept going like an extra week. And oh my God, you guys, When Kate got here and I said, put the bridle on your horse. They videoed it. He reached down and grabbed the bit in the bridle and she slipped it over his head. It was one of my crowning achievements as a horse trainer to get this done. And I can't believe it worked. It worked. Monty was right. I can't believe it.
Now everybody's wondering, what did you do? Can you give a kind of Reader's Digest version?
Yeah. I mean, so Monty's kind of famous for his concept of honey on a stick. So you take an omeprazole tube, like a gastrogard tube, and I put honey on the end of it, like just like a douse of honey. And then I basically put it in his mouth and he was like, "Oh, this is the worst thing ever." And for days acted like I was torturing him by putting honey on a dewormer tube or a gastrogard tube and putting in his mouth. You can put it on that. You can put it on the back of a kitchen spoon. Anyway, he hated it. And I mean, I'm covered in honey. I'm all sticky every time I do it, but I just stuck with it. I was like, I don't know how else I'm going to solve this problem because he's 19 hands tall. Like, he's ginormous and I couldn't get the bridle on. And I just stuck with it. And it was just one day something clicked and I put him in the cross ties and I put honey on the little tube and he reached out and grabbed the tube out of my hand. Like, try to bite it, like try to eat the tube and like sucked all the honey off of it. I was like, that is not happening. I mean, because just yesterday he hated it. And today, like something clicked. And I mean, I did this solid like every day for 2 weeks.
What's the theory
weeks.
Behind that? Because I can eat something I don't like. And then the next day I still don't like it.
Well, but it's honey. So you basically you're conditioning them to taste it, to like the taste of it. And at first they're like, it's gross. It's gross. And then they're like, you know what? That wasn't that gross. That was kind of good. So I ended up, he ate the honey off the tube. So then I just took a bit and just like, it's like egg butt snaffle. And I put the honey on the middle of the snaffle, just on the middle. And then I just held it out and he reached to get it. And I just slid the bit in his mouth and I held it
That's
there
without
and
let the him bridle, nom, just nom, nom,
without the bridle, yeah. just and he would just mouth the honey off and then I would take it out. And then I put more honey on. I mean, he may have like some sort of like insulin.
Yeah, he's a sugar
issue.
Fixer.
He's like a sugar hound. Yeah. But then once he started reaching for the bit, I then put it on the bridle. You know what? I'll see if I can get her to. I don't have any before videos because I've learned better than to film before videos because people just slay you. But I put the honey and he. And I said, okay, Kate, go bridle your horse. And she put the honey on it. And then she slid the bit in his mouth. And then bless her heart, Lindsay, the mom, she won't mind me saying, I hope she's a crier. Like, oh my God, a crier. So between Lindsay.
Worse than you?
She cried a lot because she was. And then I had Farm Boy's mom crying all weekend. And I'm like, I can't take the emotion. It's so much emotion. But anyway, she got the video of it. So I'll try to get that video from her and post it. But it was amazing. Like, I was like, oh, my God, that Monty Roberts guy has something going on. Like, he might be right.
Well, good. I'm glad.
That's crazy. That's it cool. was really cool. So that was one of my.
And there's
my,
your training tip of the week, everybody. Right there.
There you go. Honey on a stick. Honey on the bit. Honey on the bridle. Perfect.
Speaking of Monty, you're going there this week. You're going to be heading out there Wednesday. What's going to happen this weekend?
Okay, so I'm leaving Wednesday morning, and on Wednesday night, we are having his 90th birthday party.
Oh, wow.
90th birthday party. And he was just like riding and working with horses last week. I mean, the dude's amazing. So it's his 90th birthday party. And what it is like all the instructors, all the Monty Roberts certified instructors, and there's a lot of us, but they're all over the globe, right? So every couple years they try to have like a get together. And the last time was in Germany and I couldn't go, but they try to have a get together where it's like almost like a continuing education kind of thing. And we talk about how we're certifying people, just days and days of training and working and stuff. All the instructors come together and it's 3 days long. So Wednesday night is a party. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the instructors meet up and continuing education. So I'm super excited because there's only like a handful of us that are in the U.S. Everybody else is all over the globe, all the way to South Africa and to Poland and Germany and England and Switzerland. And I mean, just all over the globe. And it's the most, it's going to be like the most international bunch of fun. And all the, so many of the people I did meet in certification through all my courses, and so many I'm going to meet, but I mean, South America, Argentina and Brazil, and oh gosh, Wales, and I mean, just everywhere. It's such a fun time to come together. This encourage everybody to go get certified, because it's like super, you'll have friends all over the globe, all over the globe. Like my friend Claire from Ireland is going to be, you know, just everybody from all over, and 3 days of talking horses with all people that are like-minded. It should be really fun.
Very good. Well, that's cool. I'm glad you get to go this time too. I remember the last one you weren't able to make it because it was dirty.
Yeah. But,
well, that means Ashley and I will be here on Wednesday together. And then I fly out on Thursday to Dallas and go to the American Horse Publications Conference there and hang out with a bunch of journalist friends. So I'll be doing that. So Friday we'll have a best of for you.
Did you get nominated for any awards, or did you put in for any?
No, I did not.
You did not
neither one of those. I didn't.
So this means, Glenn, please, on the dinner, on the last night, there's a big dinner and award show, mm-hmm. for those who don't know. I would like for you to actually behave this time. Mm-hmm. Could you please?
No, it's not possible. Besides, we get a whole table back there and have a good time. Now, we've almost gotten kicked out a couple times. But, yeah. You know, they would be bored without me there.
I don't think they would. I really think that maybe talking. You should.
When you were there, it was double bad. It was...
I've been twice, and I to accept responsibility for the first time. Me and who's
was it Heather?
Who's the,
was...
No, the clicker trainer.
Oh yes, I know what you mean. Yeah,
she and I caused some trouble, but yeah. We were also in the front, and then the next time we were in the back, and so I walked out when things got a little out of control.
It's a lot of awards. They go on for hours and hours and hours.
It's an award show. It's a big deal.
It's a lot of awards. Yeah. So I do know, I think that one of the Hit'em episodes every month is the travel show, and she was nominated for an award. So Hit'em has been nominated, but it was one of the Tuesday or Thursday shows. So congratulations to her, Megan. She does a good job with that show. So yeah, she was nominated. I don't know who's going to win. But we'll be there. Yeah, we'll have a good time. And I'm looking forward to hanging out. I'm doing one session. I'm on one panel about guests and how to handle guests. And I think you and I probably qualify on that one. So we've done a few. All right. Does your trailer floor a disaster zone, cracked, dusty, and leaking? There's a better way. Let's face it. Traditional floors and trailers, barns, workshops, they take a beating. They crack, they leak, they collect dust like nobody's business. And all those temporary fixes you do, they never last. So there is a solution. It's Werm flooring. That's WERM flooring. It's a sealed system that's easy to clean and maintain. No more back-breaking scrubbing. You get rid of the mats. You take those out completely. It's slip-resistant, keeping you safe and sound. And unlike other options, Werm flooring is built to last. You don't have to worry about liquids. You don't have to worry about pee or any of that stuff getting on your aluminum floors. This takes care of that. It seals it up so that you just basically sweep it out, hose it out. It doesn't matter because you don't have to worry about the water getting to the floor.
Just to remind everybody how they do it, because I had my trailer done and then I had my barn floor done. They basically take big wheelbarrows that they mix with the glue and the rubber, and then they dump it out on the floor and they trowel it like it's concrete. Like they trowel it on top. And I've had mine I've had it in the trailer for a couple of years, and I've had it in the barn for about 8 months, and it's 6 months, and it still looks great. And you can't really sweep it. So I have to use the blower. Don't have to sweep anymore, which is actually quite nice.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. You know, and the other thing they said, they can put it on wood floors, but you have to remember that if the wood rots from the bottom, it won't rot from the top anymore, but the wood can still rot from the bottom. So you have to keep that in mind. But you can get it put on wood floors. And you can find them and a dealer near you, wermflooring.com, WERM flooring.com. Well, now it's time for our monthly study show. That's time when I take a look at Google and Facebook, and now AI helps with this too. and I say, hey, show me the studies that everybody's done in the last month. And we look at what we've wasted money on because we already knew the answer to all of these things. And then sometimes we get conflicting studies in the same month. And I have examples of that today, too.
Oh, no.
So one of the studies, talk about ridiculous, was published. And this is a scientific paper that published this, by the way. And it showed that chimpanzee groups, so you have a group of chimpanzees, right? And they give them a whole bunch of drums. Jamie, chimpanzees and a whole bunch of drums, do they drum in rhythm or not?
Oh, man, they got more rhythm than we do.
You are correct. That is what the study found, is that they have a unique ability to drum in rhythmic patterns. Now, this is where they went with it, suggesting that potential cultural transmission of these behaviors. I don't know what exactly that means, but yeah, that was a study that we probably already knew the answer to, because Jamie just said.
What, like, culturally, like, generations of chimpanzees can drum? Like, I don't get it. That's really stupid. What a waste of money.
I don't read the study, so I don't know. The next one you're going to get, you're especially going to get, because this is one of your pet peeves.
Oh, Lord.
Eating ultra-processed foods may blank your health.
It kill you.
Correct. Ding, 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 ding. A study found correlation. Oh, I should use the, I should use this.
Oh, there you go.
I have the right and wrong buzzards. I forgot about this. So, a study found a correlation between the consumption of ultra-processed foods and adverse health outcomes. No kidding.
That's so weird. I can't believe that they just studied that and just discovered it. Wow, amazing.
Here's one that you're really going to be shocked by. Studies show that paid sick leave is blank.
Paid sick leave is a fantastic, wonderful thing that I don't get, and I need to talk to somebody about it.
Studies show that paid sick leave is beneficial for everyone, including the employer. It's a big surprise. We studied that. This is one that I bet you can guess the answer to. Studies show eating this fruit will make you smarter.
Eating one particular fruit makes you smarter?
Yes, and this particular fruit has been in many studies that we have had over the years.
Oranges?
Nope.
Apples? Lemons?
Think smaller.
Grapes?
Nope. Blueberries.
Acai? Blueberries. Oh, duh.
Yeah, blueberries has been in many studies proving, and it's all said the same thing, that blueberries are just really good for you. They cost about $5,000 a bucket, but they're good for you.
Chad was behind me naming fruits.
If only they were a little cheaper. But yeah, blueberries have always been said. Apparently, you're supposed to eat one cup a day. So
oh,
how much
God.
Would that be a week? Like, that's a lot of blueberries. In another study, you're going to love this one. Did your kid ever eat anything he wasn't supposed to and then you had to wait for it to pass?
Well, I mean, he made a living out of when I would set him in the arena while I would ride, he would scoop up arena sand and eat it. And then one time he licked chicken poop. So that was fun to hose out of his mouth. So I can't say that I've had to wait for anything to pass, but.
So he's never ate a Lego. No, not a Lego or.
I mean, not to my knowledge, but you know.
Yeah. Well, they did a study because so many kids do eat Legos. They wanted to do the study to find out how long it takes to pass the digestive tract without causing harm. And I guess that would depend on the size of the Lego, right? But it typically takes 2 days, by the way. So if your kid eats a Lego, just wait 2 days. It's probably going to come out. If it doesn't, then you might want to call the doctor.
Wow. I mean, what if it like you eats a couple and they join together, then they're in trouble.
Then you're doing surgery. By the way, don't take medical advice from us. This is one that's actually interesting, an interesting study. And you probably saw it, but you've dealt recently, obviously, with your mom with Alzheimer's. And there's a new study that's showing that HIV drugs offer substantial protection against Alzheimer's, getting it in the first place. So they're doing more research on that. I'm not having to guess anything there. I just thought that was fascinating.
I've been looking at a lot of stuff where they've got like inhalers that make your brain better. But you know, all of this being said, I did see a advice on if for some reason you're looking online and there's medicine or has a claim to something that's beneficial, if there's a coupon code, do not use it. That's not a doctor.
Right.
That is somebody selling stuff. If they're like, buy this medication, there's a coupon code. That's not Medicaid. Like, don't take advice from that guy. So it's kind of my like buffer now of like, oh, there's a coupon code. Yeah, you're just a snake oil salesman. Go ahead.
Here's a study that was absolutely ridiculous. Studies show that the more you socialize with parrots, the bird parrots, what blank?
The more social the parrots get?
Exactly. That's what the study... Yes, I'm not kidding. This is published on May the 6th. Studies show that the more you socialize with parrots, the better vocabulary they have. Ugh, no kidding. Well, you weird. Teach them words, they learn words.
So when Lucas was a tiny baby, we would go to the zoo, the World Wildlife Zoo, because he was in a stroller and I would just need to walk. And it was real shady and it was Arizona. So we just walked through the zoo and there was a parrot section and like, all the birds. And basically all these birds came from people who had birds that ended up not being able to take care of them. So they're like basically a giant bird collection of birds that have lived in people's houses for many, many years. And then they end up at the zoo. And so I would walk through and I'd go, trying to get them to do the like Katniss Everdeen Hunger Games.
By the way, that song still gives me chills every time I hear it.
I know, right? How cool would that have been if I like walked in and I was like, and they all started doing it? Like, that'd be awesome. I tried so hard, but they had a whole section of birds that swore that you were only allowed in if you were 18 and over.
That's funny. They were all taken from sailors' houses.
Yeah, exactly.
A study published in the Journal of American Osteopathic Association, you're going to love this bizarre study, found that riding the back of a roller coaster, specifically the Disney World's Big Thunder Mountain, which is one of our favorite roller coasters, helps dislodge kidney stones.
So, what?
Yes. So if you have kidney stones, they made this model, and that was like a human model, and they found that 23 out of 36 trials resulted in kidney stones moving through the system of this model if they rode in the back of the roller coaster.
So basically, that's the one that has the steep drop, right? So
I think at back of the roller coaster, you get whipped around a little more, and I would assume that's it. They said in the front, it didn't have the same results.
Okay, well,
did they
good to know.
Disney and say, we want to do a kidney stone study on the Big Thunder Mountain. Do you mind? They must have.
What's funny is like you'll now see people lining up. There's like, you know, front seats over here and back seats, and everybody's like limping into the doubled over, like trying to sit.
This is two in a row here. Literally, they were side by side, Jamie. Research published in the European Heart Journal found that morning coffee consumption was associated with 31% lower risk of dying from heart disease.
Okay.
The next study, literally the next one on my list, a study presented in Asia 2024 suggested that chronic high coffee consumption or caffeine consumption might increase the risk of heart disease.
What? I'm shocked.
And so they said over 400 milligrams daily. So the previous study said this benefit was observed, the beneficial coffee study said it was observed in both moderate and heavy morning coffee drinkers.
Well, maybe the morning part is the key word.
Yet the next study said if you're doing over 400 milligrams daily of caffeine, which, by the way, is 4 cups of coffee, that you're going to die from heart attack.
Wow.
So cool. There you go. Two in a row. Exactly opposite.
This is fun.
I got two more for you. This one is about fruit flies. Now, you know how big a fruit fly is, right?
Yes.
It's teeny weeny. And it's a scourge when you get them in your house because you can't get rid of the damn things. So a study investigated the neurological differences, I'm not kidding, between social and solo drinking by getting fruit flies intoxicated with ethanol vapor, either alone or in a group. Guess what it showed, Jamie? The flies in a party showed far more hyperactivity and larger dopamine spikes compared to their solitary counterparts who just tended to get depressed. So
if you drink alone, you just want to go to bed.
Exactly. See?
So drink with all your friends.
That's what it's saying. The study says if you're going to drink, you should do it with friends because it's less depressing. And how exactly did they tell that in a fruit fly that's the size of a pin needle?
How do you get a blood alcohol level test on the fruit fly?
Throw in the breathalyzer. Here you go. Last one. again, a ridiculous study that we spent money on. A study on human embarrassment. Teenage girls were asked to sing karaoke, and then when they watched recordings of themselves, were they more or less embarrassed, Jamie?
Oh, God, more embarrassed. I can't even listen to my own voice on this podcast.
They blushed more while watching themselves compared to recordings of others. Now, there's one that we could have told them the answer to.
Yeah, that's the dumbest.
Any teenage girl.
How about a 40-year-old girl? Yes. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are.
You're always more embarrassed when you hear yourself. God, who thinks of these things and thinks, well, I'm not sure that what we all know is true. We should test it. Even though
let's
we all know
it.
It's true. I don't know.
Stupid.
It's stupid. Anyway, let's head off to our guest. Laura's here, and she's going to talk to us. Well, she's going to talk to us a little bit about obstacle courses. Well, Jamie, Jennifer's been bugging me now that I proved that I could build nice things by building two decks that are really nice. She's decided that now I need to build an obstacle course out in the back.
See, that's what you get for doing things right.
I know.
It's like, you know, mess up loading the dishwasher, you'll never have to do it again.
Unfortunately, the decks are very well built. They haven't fallen down yet. And she thinks now that I can do all this stuff. So I thought I'd get some help. We have Laura Winsek on here, and she is out of Ohio, and she has a really cool indoor horse park full of obstacles and for obstacle challenges and things like that. Laura, thanks for coming back. I know you've been on the shows before.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a complete indoor filled with a complete all-natural obstacle course. There is not one pool noodle to be seen in this obstacle course.
You know me so well, Glenn. No, there is not a pool noodle to be seen. We had a cactus pool noodle designed and it kind of left.
Okay,
so no pool noodle.
You know, it's funny. We drive around our neighborhood, which is a driving neighborhood, and there are quote unquote obstacle courses, and there's a lot of pool noodles. There is a lot of pool noodles, but you're looking at yours in the pictures. It's just absolutely beautiful. So, why did you do this?
Well, originally, and you know, back when you and I had met years ago with the Thoroughbreds, we wanted to find something with the ability to get these horses to pick their feet up. You know, when we worked with the Thoroughbreds, trying to get them to pick their feet up instead of going, you know, just flat work. So it was a start of that. And when we designed the outdoor park, we got to see Oregon Horse Center. We were flown out there and I just fell in love with the place. They graced us. They were so wonderful. So just wonderful people. Opened their doors, treated us like queens. Jamie Bartow and I just loved it. And we decided we wanted to have the first indoor permanent trail park. So we've done 16,000 square feet of indoor obstacles. We try to stay as all natural as we can. Of course, we're going to have to build some stuff that's going to be, you know, your treated lumber and that kind of thing. But we wanted to bring the outdoors in because, you know, Ohio has about, what, 3 days of non-rain? So, yeah.
Or snow.
Or snow.
Yeah. So we are the capital of the United States of rain, mud, and caca. So.
Well, this is cool. What size indoor did you build?
It is 100 by 160. So it's roughly 16,000 square feet. Now we have a little bit of a staging area, but we wanted to maximize that to make it so that pretty much every square foot of this has something that you can do, that you can work with, that you can go over, under, through, that kind of thing.
Jamie is now drooling and salivating looking at your website, I am sure. She's been dreaming about an indoor. This thing's huge. It's enormous.
Someday.
I'm telling you, girl. I'm ready to build one down there. I'm ready to build one everywhere. We've been very successful with building our outdoor parks in a lot of places. So
come on, Laura. Come on over. Let's do this.
Hey, I'm ready, girlfriend. Give me a call. We'll do it.
Hey, this would be fun, though, Jamie, thinking about it for retraining the Thoroughbreds like you do. You know, giving them something to challenge their brain. That's kind of fun, too. You know, so tell Chad.
And that's really why we started it. I'm sorry. Yes, that's really why we started it way back in the day. You know, when I worked with Retired Racehorse Project, that's one of the reasons we started it because of that.
Well, so you have all different types of obstacles here. Describe a couple of them to us to give somebody an idea.
We've got bridges. We've got teeter-totters. We've got ditches. We've got trenches. We've got water puddles. We have a raised back through that has a rope gate connected to it. We now have a rope gate that we used at the Equine Affair for the versatility that kind of has some tree branches and things on it. So we up the game with that. We have some stuffed turkey and stuffed deer, and then we have our world famous bear that has become very popular. A couple people at the Versatility Equine Affair said he's just really too real. Now, so
did you build these yourself?
Yes, 90% of the stuff that is in there was built by myself. Jamie Bartow did a lot of the course design with it, and then we built it. We found out that we've got a little bit of a kind of naturally springy, watery thingy that is in the one corner. So we kind of had to step back and redesign one section of it and make it Rattlesnake Creek. Because, you know, when you're out in the desert, you'll have that dry area. And then one day, you know, the wind and rain will come through. So we kind of did that and tried to keep it as all natural as possible. And it's something, you know, Glenn, like you were talking, I really hate to side with your wife, but I heard you're really good at this, so we can, you know, we can design you a trail park, and we don't have to come. We don't have to come build
you.
It.
You're breaking up.
We can come build it for you, or we can, you know, we can send you the plans, and you can send us some pictures, and your wife can send me an obstacle list, and I'll send you the design plans.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, we charge you a fee to just do the design fee, and then I work with Smart Draw, so we'll also draw you up a pattern. Now, I realize you're kind of wanting this to be private, and your wife's going to have the ladies over, they're going to drink some wine, and they're going to enjoy their new trail park, but we also do design you a Smart Draw program so that you have a map so the girls can kind of play with that too, so.
Let's talk about the business side of this. So, you know, obviously you had the cost of building the indoor, which ain't cheap. And then, you know, putting all the obstacles. How do you make money doing this?
Basically what we do, like you and I talked about, we do build trail parks all over the United States. Outdoor currently, we have not built another indoor, but we build, you know, the trail parks. We have open riding here at our facility in Cortland, Ohio, where we have a lot of trainers that'll come in and work their horses. We have
so you charge for that by the hour,
yes,
or something?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, we charge by the hour, okay, for that. Right now we have a special that's $25 for 2 hours to come in and work your horse. And then we also have clinicians come in. We have this week we have Merlo Barbosa, who is a Brazilian horse trainer. He's coming from Texas to work with some Mustangs I have here. And next month we have Cole Cameron's coming back again. So we have him come in. So it's just varying. We have clinicians, we have mountain trail challenges here, both indoor and on our outdoor park, that kind of bleeds from our indoor into my outdoor. So,
and those are competitions, right? The challenges?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
So, and what kind of, is this becoming, I know when we talked years ago, this was really the beginning. Is it still becoming more popular all the time?
We have a lot of people. Right now, Jamie and I are designing a lot of private trail parks, and we just had a gentleman, we stopped on the way down to East Fork Stables here last week, and we were down there doing a clinic. We had a gentleman that has a campground that kind of wanted to build it, so it's becoming more and more popular, and it's not as crazy as you think to build one. And what we do and what we try to do, because, you know, we're out there for the everyday rider. We're out there for the person that, you know, can't spend $100,000 on a trail park. So we try to work with what you have. Like Jamie, say you have a bunch of logs and rocks, or you found barricade poles, or your buddy gave you 30 railroad ties. We can design a lot with that. So we try to work mm-hmm. with what you have and the accessibility that you have. And Facebook Marketplace is wonderful. So
that's where we bought most of our stuff for our farm. So, and I assume you have riders that are all disciplines that try this.
Yes, yes. In fact, the year that I think you and I were talking, or we had a wonderful lady that was Canadian that somehow her dressage ride had gotten deleted, and she ended up coming into the trail park, and she was dressed to the nines, and she competed at Retired Racehorse Project in the trail, and she made it to the top five. And she, you know, she'd practiced at home to work with her dressage horse to kind of get it, you know, calmed down and working well. And we have English, we have Western, we have Australian, we have sport horses, we have drafts, we've had Clydesdales. Been there, done that. We've had an alpaca here, so everybody's welcome.
Even ponies?
even ponies. We have a miniature horse class. We have a peewee class. We have right now there's, I think she's three that's currently winning the peewee lead line. She's just amazing. So yeah, it's for all breeds, all disciplines, all ages.
That's one of the things I like about this. Like my pony is at the point now where I can't drive him anymore, but he could still do this. Right?
Absolutely.
So in hand. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some of the obstacles you see that horses continually have a hard time with? What's the challenging one in the group?
In my indoor trail park, the challenging one is the black hole of death. Basically, all I did was take a 4x6, kind of dug a hole out, made a box, put a stall mat in it, and they think it's going to eat them alive. But then there's weird things, you know, the gate, now that we've put the branches on it, they're either want to eat dinner or they're scared of it because it's kind of brushing up against their legs. So it just kind of depends. But I would say your step down into things, you know, stepping into the unknown, because why do I have to do that? I can walk around it. Mm-hmm. So building that trust between you and your pony or you and your horse. So.
And do you have a favorite obstacle that you go, every horse should try this?
I have a favorite obstacle. I redesigned the suspension bridge from what a former person that I had learned from had done. And I redesigned a suspension bridge going into the side of the hillside in our indoor. And it's just kind of nice because it's a little spongy as you start to walk across it. And you know, look at these people that trail ride and sometimes often go on these trails and there's these bridges going across. And so that's probably the one I tell you, you know, work with a suspension bridge. Work with stuff that's going to move around a little bit. We don't spook. The majority of our riders, and I'm going to say this politely, are over 40++. So I don't want to scare them. I don't want to, you know, have the big giant thing going back and forth and the flame of fire, and which would be interesting in my trail park. But
yeah, you wouldn't have it long.
We're not going to do the flame of fire. I don't think my fire department will be real happy with me. But you know, what we're trying to do is build that partnership. And that's what we're based upon. Not that any of the other organizations, we do not cut them for what they do, but that's really not what we're looking at. You know, Jamie knows as well as I do those times when you load the horse kites or you unload the horse kites off the trailer because they've just come home from the racetrack and they're just pretty much ready to fly away. And this is a great opportunity to do a lot of groundwork with them and get their mind off of, you know, formerly being at the track or the Mustangs or a young horse that by putting them in the indoor arena, you're taking away a lot of that outer anxiety because they don't have a lot of those outer triggers. They're just in the building and moving their feet and you're building and gaining that partnership with them.
Well, this is fantastic. Where can people reach you? Where can they find you?
They can go on Winseek, WIN as in win, dash SEEK, so seek winseek.com. They can go on Facebook. They can look us up under Winseek Fallen Pines Equestrian Center. They can call my cell phone at 724-301-2244. And we'd love to see everybody. We love doing it. We love building trail parks. And, you know, I'm anxious to work with you and Jamie to build you guys a nice place.
Cosequin, the number one veterinarian recommended joint health supplement brand, is excited to announce the launch of its newest supplement, Cosequin ASU Balance. This advanced formula supports joint, immune, and digestive health. Cosequin ASU Balance helps moderate the inflammatory responses that can cause immune and GI tract disturbances through the innovative inclusion of postbiotics and beta-glucans. The formula also includes the comprehensive joint support Cosequin is known for, with ingredients such as ASU, hyaluronic acid, and Boswellia serrata extract.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
Well, in an effort to continue to spice up your Monday, we are going to scale back to doing equestrian first world problems twice a month. I'm going to let you guys save up all your drama and then post it. And then we're going to figure out some other entertaining something to put on the other Mondays. So if you have any ideas of things you want or want to see back, please send me an email, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. Now, as far as the equestrian first world problems go, these are sad stories of all the listeners having to deal with this whole Life with Horses. And so if you want to participate in Equestrian First World Problems, you need to become an auditor. And Glenn, how do they do that?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, click on the auditor banner in the middle of the page, and for as little as donation of $3 a month, you too can join the party. And I want to thank the auditors for giving input. We did a little poll about Equestrian First World Problems. And so we came up with a compromise about going every other week.
Well, the first one comes in from Lilla. Poor Lilla. She said, 2 days ago, I stubbed my toe so bad, and I was worried about it hurting on my scheduled 8-mile run. But then last night, while I was doing a TMJ release on my pony, my finger got stuck in between his molars.
Oh, no.
And I didn't think about my toe once on the ride.
Oh, no.
That's funny.
Isn't it the worst run, though, in the middle of the night when you stub your toe on the bed frame, going when you're good up to go to the bathroom and you're coming back? It's always worse in the middle of the night. It's just
We've all done it. I've tripped and fallen. It's fun. Holly says, Holly, I'm so proud of your boy. Okay. My son got to pick out his very first briar yesterday. But he picked a thoroughbred and he doesn't care at all that we're a gypsy horse family, so I think I have to disown him. Send him over here. I'll take him. My son wouldn't have even wanted a briar.
No. He would have shot BBs at it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Christy said, ever since I sold my horse, the weather has been beautiful and I can't find any gated geldings over 4 and under 17 for sale. Glenn, would you like to weigh in?
Yeah, it takes a while, but you eventually do. Jennifer looked for a long time. It takes a while. It really does. You just have to keep looking. Don't give up. Keep going.
I know
she's
so
been, she's been
be
posting
crap.
About it too. She's having a hard time. I think it depends where you live too.
Yeah. Yeah. She had to travel to get him, right?
No, we found her. Ended up, she traveled to look at several of them, but we ended up getting that one on Ocala.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
Yes. Okay. She traveled to the Carolinas and a couple other places, and this one ended up in Ocala. So.
Tara says, we bought and moved to a lovely new property last fall. It has great ground and the grass has been growing like crazy from all the rain. But now we have to mow like all the time.
That's true. I've been mowing it forever too.
Chad just seems like, here we go. This is mowing season.
Get that lawnmower oil change, Chad. You can do it.
JMO says, I finally decided to pull the trigger on ordering a new saddle. But like then I had to choose between a black saddle or a brown saddle for my Chestnut Morgan, and I just don't want to decide.
I wonder what she decided.
I don't know. She never said. She doesn't want to. She doesn't want to. She's just going to ride bareback. Ellen said, I went to my first preliminary. Now, Ellen, we followed for a long time. She said, I went to my first preliminary level driving competition and I won not only my class, but the whole division. Oh, but wow. Now I feel like I have imposter syndrome because I went up a level and I thought I was starting over at the bottom. Sorry, you're just a baller.
Wow, that congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Cameron says, Boyd Martin. That level. I don't know what prelim is, but in eventing, it's hard.
Yeah,
so.
It's same thing.
Smaller jumps. Cameron says Boyd Martin was showing at the Tryon International Equestrian Center, which is like 10 minutes from my house. And I heard about him too late on Saturday and I couldn't go on Sunday. I've been following Boyd. So I follow Boyd and like he's been posting a lot of videos. And these are all like the horses that we'll see in the future. And so he did great. I was so excited. Amy says... Oh, that her first world problem from last week is solved. She got her finals done and she's finally riding her horse again. Which, you know, every once in a while we like an update, a follow up, if you will. Danielle says my horse loves his new total contact saddle and he looks so handsome in the new pad that I got for him. But now I need to get a black bridle to match. You do. I'm somebody. Broke my black bridle when they were using it on Miles, and they broke like the one part that I can't just like easily replace. It's like basically the whole thing, Miles. And so that was my black bridle from when I ride dressage, and now I'm having to ride in my black dressage saddle with my brown bridle, and it hurts. I get it, Danielle. It hurts every time. Anna's like, you should get a black bridle. I'm like, I had one. Excuse me. I'm not still mad. It's fine. Nicole says it was
Your
Mother's Day
coming,
weekend.
Right?
Mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, October. It'll be fine. Nicole says it was Mother's Day weekend, so I had to spend time with my family instead of my horse. Nicole, you're doing Mother's Day wrong.
I knew there was one of those coming. I knew it.
Yeah, I rode in my black saddle and brown bridle yesterday. That's what I did. Kimberly says it was very warm this weekend. She's in California and she says, I'm okay with that. But after riding, the horses get to stand under the fans, but our tack area doesn't have any fans. So first world, I love it. Tracy,
Do you have any big ass fans at your place anywhere?
Ceiling I have fans. It's not one of the ceiling fan ones, but I've got like a one that I wheel out and put it in the barn. It's like a giant orange one from like Home
Depot. Oh, yeah, the great big ones that blow the dust right out of your barn. Yeah,
exactly. Tracy says, Tracy, this hurts to me. This hurts worse than the black bridle, brown saddle kind of thing or vice versa. I washed my dressage splint boots and they were still wet this morning. So I had to use my Western cheetah print splint boots for my lesson today. And which pad matches best? My favorite Blue Flame saddle pad or my Space and Star saddle pad? Oh, neither. I'm sorry, you had cheetah print and like Blue Flames. Oh god, what a hot mess. Please send me a picture of that. I need a picture.
It sounds like somebody needs more saddle pads, doesn't it, Jamie?
Yeah, it sounds like you need to go shopping for saddle pads and more boots. Maya says, and this is a journey, so stick with me. It's kind of long. Okay. Maya says, last weekend, I wanted to ride both days of the new endurance ride. I wanted to ride both days of the new endurance ride put on by Love This Horse Equine Rescue. But I had free tickets to my company's VIP suite to go see Beyonce. So I just rode Saturday so I could get down to LA on Sunday in time to get my hair and makeup done and take the limo with the clients to our VIP suite for the Beyonce show. But I recently learned that not only did Beyonce's charitable foundation award a grant enabling junior riders to ride free at the endurance ride last weekend, she also awarded a $25,000 grant to Love This Horse Rescue. So I feel justified in leaving the ride to go see Beyonce. Wow. That's cool that Beyonce gave money to horse rescue.
Yeah, she's into that. We've tried to get her on in the past. Jennifer has tried, and we couldn't get
Ashley. Ashley, we need to talk to Beyonce. I mean, it's like it'd be like a building block fell. Like if we get Beyonce, there's no end to the limit of so many celebrities we could get, including the man from Snowy River.
Do you think he knows who Beyonce is?
I'm not worried, but like if they were like, Beyonce's been on this show, then he'd be like, well, now I have to go on it because they're legit. They've only been doing a podcast for 15 years and messaging my personal.
You're lucky you haven't got a restraining order, is what you're lucky.
I don't answer those emails, Glenn. I don't open the links. I don't open the attachments. Adrian says, my friend's mom broke her foot. Oh, so I offered to ride her new pony to keep her going while she healed. But I don't even have time to ride my own horses that are in my backyard. Oh, yes. Yes, you took on too much. I love it.
All right,
That was it. And so, everybody, thank you again for submitting your equestrian first world problems. We're very sad for you, and I'm so sorry. And I'm really sad that you had to go get your hair and makeup done and ride a limo to go see Beyonce, because that would have been awesome. Yeah.
How did she arrange that? She never did say how she got that little VIP.
Who do you work for?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want to know. That's kind of cool. Tomorrow, we're going to have an endurance episode with Karen. She just did a 50-mile ride over the weekend. And then Ashley and I'll be here Wednesday, Thursday's Equine Affair, and then Friday's the Best Of. So enjoy your week, everybody. Jamie, have fun in California.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Spay, neuter, and gelt.
And we'll be here for a short post show shortly. By the way, it's National Nutty Fudge Day, so go out and get some fudge.
I'm fasting. Shut up.
Oh, sorry. Do you like nuts in your fudge or not?
I overconsumed yesterday on Mother's Day. I was like, hey, you guys want to get ice cream? Let's go!
And you can never get a small ice cream. It's not possible.
Can't do it.